Okay, Parshas Pekudei and Shkalim, Tavshin Samaches. Now we are reading the last Parsha of Sefer Shemos, the Shabbos, and it's also Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, and it's also the reading of Parsha Shkalim. It is customary that we read Parsha Shkalim on the first Shabbos of Adar, close to Rosh Chodesh Adar, because it was instituted by Mordechai, who was from the Anshei Knesset Gdola, the Sanhedrin, after the Purim story, as a way of recalling, reminding for us what happened, the great nace that took place. So here's the development of the events of how this became customary to read Parsha Shkalim. Parsha Shkalim is about the collecting of the Chatzi Shekel, the Machaseh HaShekel, from every Jew, as a way of counting the Jewish people a census, but more than that, the Chatzi HaShekel that we're speaking about was given first in the Midbar. The first episode of the donation of the Chatzi Shekel was in the Midbar. And all of these Chatzi Shekels were used together. They were, the silver of them were used together for a couple of necessary items in the Mishkan, but they were kind of peripheral items, such as the hooks that were attached to all of the krushim, the boards, the beams, and the bands that held the krushim together, and the sockets that allowed the krushim to stand firmly, you know, straight and erect, the silver sockets that the krushim fit into. So the Chatzi Shekel was used to support the structure of the Mishkan and hold it all together, which is clearly the concept of the oneness of the whole building, holding together all the various parts. They're already dealing with concepts of achdus. In addition to that, every single year, this was a one-time donation, what we just mentioned, but every single year, the Jewish people on Rosh Chodesh Adar began to donate shkalim while the Beis HaMikdash stood, the first and second Beis HaMikdash. They each gave a Chatzi Shekel. You couldn't give more if you wanted to, and you couldn't give less if you wanted to. And that half a shekel were all combined together, and the money that was raised was used for the Karban Tamid, the twice daily offering that was given on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. And nobody had more of a share in the Karban Tamid, and nobody had less of a share. It was everybody's Karban Tamid, and everybody was equally represented. In addition, monies were also used for things associated with the Karban Tamid. For example, hiring Talmidei Chachamim to teach the Kohanim how to do the Shechita, how to do the Avoda, how to offer the Karbanos, the endless halachas associated with the Karbanos. That was also taken out of that money. Every single year there was another collection, and the Karbanos and the needs of that year for the sacrifices were only taken from the money of that year, and never from surplus money. So that every single year, every person had a part in the Beis HaMikdash. In addition to that, there was another collection, which was an unspecified amount, as we had in Parshas Truma. Anyone could give whatever they wanted on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, and that money went into a fund called the Bedek HaBayis, which was basically upkeep and maintenance. And that was people donating, as we have today, people who make donations to the shul and to other, you know, religious institutions, and that's a voluntary thing. So when the Purim story took place, there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash. But it became evident to Mordechai, in trying to commemorate this event, that one of the zchuyot that clearly helped us neutralize the threat of Haman was the zechus of the shkalim, which were always given in the beginning of Adar, and this took place on in the middle of Adar, Yud Gimel, Yud Daled, Adar, and Tesvav. And so Mordechai established that although we don't actually collect money now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, and when there would be no longer a Beis HaMikdash, although we don't collect the money Rosh Chodesh Adar, you read about the shkalim and the collection as a way of reminding ourselves that this was the zchus that stood for us against Haman's threats and the danger that Haman posed for us. Now, how's that? Well, we know clearly that Haman's whole plot to eliminate the Jewish people, his whole concept of freeing the Persian Empire here, from the Jewish nuisance, which they were. He tried to argue to Ahasuerus, was predicated on the fact that he made it. He offered Ahasuerus a deal. He said, "I will buy them from you. Let me buy the Jews, okay? As if they're a commodity. Let me buy all the Jews in the land, so they'll be under my jurisdiction, and I'll do with them what I want." Now, the reason he had to ask Ahasuerus if he could purchase them was because simply suggesting to Ahasuerus that he just kill all the Jews didn't make any sense for Ahasuerus, as it never makes sense financially and economically for any leader of a country, because the Jews are usually a backbone of the financial strength of the nation. They pay taxes, they contribute to the economics, the finances. That's always been our strength. So just to eliminate a vast amount of people who are providing money to the empire in a large way doesn't make any sense. So he had to make it worth it for Ahasuerus, and he therefore said, "I'll buy them from you, and what you're going to lose in revenues, I'll make up." Okay? But this was not so simple. Because on the one hand, he says to Ahasuerus, "You know what? They're worthless to you." On the other hand, he says, "They're worth so much money, let me buy them from you." Okay? So let's look carefully at what Haman says and understand, therefore, how his shkolim that he offered to buy the Jewish people with figure very greatly in this whole story of the Purim Nes, and how Mordechai understood that our shkolim are the zchus we have to neutralize his shkolim. So here's what he says to Ahasuerus. He says in Perek Gimel, he's angry about Mordechai. Vayomer Haman lemelech Ahasuerus. Okay, now whenever it says Melech Ahasuerus, he's talking to Melech Ahasuerus. Whenever it says HaMelech, as you well know, it's a reference to God who is hidden in the Megillah. So he says to Melech Ahasuerus, Yeshno Am Echad, there is a nation, and it is Mifuzar u'Mifurad Ben Ha'amim. It's all spread out. They are in a state of Pirud, of separation. We assume on a simple pshat level this means from each other. They're all scattered through the nation, which doesn't make them an asset or a liability. It's just a fact. They're scattered through the nations, b'chol medinot malchusecha, and all of the provinces of your kingdom. And v'daseim shonos mikol am, they are different, they don't think like us. V'estasei hamelech, no, but the dat, the will, the truth, the rules of hamelech, God, einam osim, they are not doing that. Ve'ein la melech, ena osim, v'la melech ein shaveh lehin lahanicham, and for hamelech God, it is not worth it to preserve them. So, they're all spread out, which is just a neutral fact. It's not some type of crime. What is a crime is, they are not interested in the rule of the king, and therefore for the king, they're just a problem. They have no value. So then he continues, Im al hamelech tov, if it's a good idea in the eyes of hamelech, the king, you should write a decree, la'abda, yikasev la'abdam, write down that you should eradicate them, and aseret alafim kikar kesef, and a 10,000 kikar kesef, I will weigh out, al yedei osei hamelecha. Where are those words familiar from? The Mishkan is constantly about the Osei HaMalacha, correct? He's weighing out the shekel, and who's going to weigh them out? The Osei Malacha are going to measure the shkolim. Keep this in mind. And they're going to bring it to the Ginzei HaMelech. So he's basically, if we look deeper, making a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to go to the Osei Malacha, those that are doing the Malacha, and he's going to have them calculate to measure out how many shkolim exactly equal to chatzi shekel for 600,000. That's the amount. And he's going to give that to the king. So Mordechai realizes that those chatzi shekels that Haman is collecting from the Osei Malacha are there to neutralize the chatzi shekel that we give, and that's what Haman is counting on. So we are looking for the secret of the chatzi shekel. Okay, and we're looking for Haman's power over us in this way, and how he feels what he's doing can overshadow and neutralize what we've done. Don't forget the chatzi shekel was given from every person equally, and together they were used to hold the Mishkan together. Now, in order to understand the secret of the Chatzi Shekel, all right, and let me just read you here the Gemara. The Gemara says like this: V'hine Amar Ish Lakish. This is from Megillah. Galoy v'yadua lifnei misha amar v'haya ha'olam. It was known clearly before he who said, "Let there be a world." Shasid Haman lishkol shkolim al Yisrael. That in the future Haman is going to count out shkolim against Yisrael. Lefichach, therefore, hikdim shiklehem lishkolav. He introduced prior to this their shkolim to his shkolim. V'hainu, therefore, then Echad Bo'adar, the first of the month, Mashmiyin al Hashkolim, we announce, we read, we collect the Shkolim. This was in order to preempt him. And it was Mordechai, as we said, who established the reading of the Shkolim in the place where we don't collect the Shkolim. However, the collection of the Shkolim still kind of reverberates through the generations. We still have a sense of it in the Matanos Lavyonim, in the Shalach Manos, in giving to giving money, certainly, and then in Pesach, the Kimcha de Pischa, there is, in this time of the year, an emphasis on giving, okay? So in order to understand the secret of the Shkolim, what we're going to do is we're going into a whole nother direction, and we're going to try to understand, who was Bezalel, okay, what was Bezalel's talent? What was his special koach, a special spiritual gift? He worked with Aliyev. And Aliyev, we're taught, is not like Bezalel. Aliyev was a superior craftsman. He was a person of exceptional talent, and his ability was to work with these materials that were being used in the Mishkan. But Bezalel was of another level entirely, and he was not only a superior craftsman, extremely talented, but he was working on a whole other dimension. He was on a spiritual plane, understanding how to make the kelim in a way that was exactly as Hashem had described it to Moshe, how to really transfer a spiritual concept into physical form with nothing lost in translation, which is very difficult. So Bezalel was unique. And what we're going to do is try to understand Bezalel a little bit, but we're going to understand him through another pasuk, which we actually read last week. So turn to Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Dalin. Now, I have to tell you that the ideas we're about to learn come from Rav Pinchas Friedman from Eretz Yisrael. And he puts it all together. He quotes from many different sources, as we will see. In order to understand Bezalel, I'll turn to page 520, Perek Lamed Vav 36, and look at Pasuk 4. Okay? You know what? Let's go earlier. Let's start in the beginning of Lamed Vav. V'yasa Bezalel v'Aliyev v'kol ish chacham lev. So Bezalel, Aliyev, and every person who is wise of heart. Asher nasan Hashem chachma usvuna behema ladas lasosas kol melechas avodas hakodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them all kinds of intellectual gifts in order to know how to do the melechas hakodesh. So now notice here how HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted them all kinds of intellectual gifts, wisdom and insight to do this work of the sanctuary. Lasos kol melechas, right? As kol melechas avodas hakodesh. L'chol asher tziva Hashem. Now, next. Vayikra Moshe Bezalel. Ve'el Aliyev, el kol ish chacham lev, asher nasan Hashem b'chachma b'libo, kol asher nasu libo l'karva, el hamalacha lasos osod. So, there's a strong emphasis here on special gifts that combine chachma and their heart, and they're granted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu in order to do this work. And vayikchu milifnei Moshe, es kol hatruma, asher heviu b'nei Yisrael, they took all of the truma that B'nai Yisrael bought, l'meleches avodas ha-kodesh, lasos osan. These are kind of awkward psukim because they seem somehow repetitive. And every day people brought more and more. Now, look at the next pasuk. This is a difficult pasuk to understand. What exactly was happening here? And it's also, in the way it's written, telling us something that we can't see directly on the surface, but we know is there. So ve'avoa kol ha'chachamim, all the wise people who were granted these intellectual gifts to do the malacha, they were the ones that came, and not the people collecting the truma, but the people who were actually taking the gifts and working with it came, because these were the osimis kol malechas hakodesh, the people doing it. Ish ish mi mamlachto, each of them came from their workshop. In other words, they're in the middle and they're the ones that come to Moshe with a sort of a complaint. And they stop what they're doing. They come from their workshops, from the work Asherhim Osim, and that they're doing. Vayomru el Moshe lemor, and they say to Moshe, Marbim ha'am lahavi, the people are bringing too much. Now, this was an organized system. There were people collecting and distributing to the workers. So the workers are coming from their work to say, we can't use this anymore. And they say, what is it too much for? Midei ha'avoda. It's too much for the avoda. Lemalacha asher tziva Hashem lasos osa. Again, these seem like extra words. It's too much for the avoda, the work we're doing. Lemalacha, a different kind of work that Hashem commanded that we should do it. They're talking about something here. So Vayitzav Moshe, so Moshe commanded, Ve'aviru kol b'machna, they made an announcement, Lemor saying, Ish v'isha, men and women, Al yasu od malacha l'trumas hakodesh, don't do any more work. And the nation stopped ringing. Now look at this pasuk. It's telling us something. V'ha malacha, so the work, what they brought, Haisa dayam, was enough, L'chol ha malacha, for all the work, Lasos osam, to do it, and it was even more. Okay. We're looking to understand these psukim. The fact that people were bringing too much, it was enough, it was too much, it was the avoda for the malacha that Hashem said couldn't be done because too much was coming in, and the people that were noticing this were the people doing the malacha itself. This is going to help us understand Bezalel's specific role. There's another question, which is, in general, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for the truma, at first, the words used, Vayidabrel b'nei Yisrael in Parshas Truma, Vayikhu li truma, as opposed to Vayitnu li truma. So we're going to go back and rework that pasuk also. Vayikhu li truma, and you should take from me truma. And li, Rashi says, and this is critical, li lishmi, me for my namesake, it has to be lishma, take truma from me. Now who do you take it from? Me'es kol ish, from every person, asher yidvenu libo, that his heart donates, tikhu es trumasi, from that person whose heart is generous and is donating, from them, those people, you should take my truma. Again, it should have said Vayitznu li truma, and it should not necessarily should have said Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo, just from every person who contributes, not that his heart contributes. So we're asking a whole bunch of questions. What about the truma? How is it given? Is it taken? Is it given? What's the role of the heart, of all this wisdom that's clearly granted to Bezalel and his workers, of the fact that they're bringing too much? You know, we just said that there was a third collection for Bedek HaBayis. So if people were bringing too much, there's a simple solution. Put it in storage. Save it up for the Bedek HaBayis. Why stop everybody? And it was too much, and it was enough. So we're looking for a concept that makes all these psukim make sense, and will bring us back to the Shkolem of Haman. So Pinchas Friedman begins by quoting a Gemara, and this is explained by Rav Zusha Mehanapoli. The Gemara says, and it's associated with Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, but the Gemara says the following. Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. The Jews are a holy people. You know what makes them holy? Yesh Rotze Ve'en Lo. There are some people who want to give, but they don't have what to give. V'yesh Sheyeshlo ve'en rotza, and then there are people that have what to give and they don't want to give it, and that's what makes Klal Yisrael kadosh. So of course the Tosfos, everybody asks, so how is that kadosh? If you have somebody who would love to give but can't, we understand. But someone who doesn't want to give, he has and he doesn't want to give, where is the kedusha in that? So they answer, well, although he has and he doesn't want to give, the fact is that he gives anyway due to other pressures, and putting it all together, that makes Klal Yisrael Kadosh. But that's not a substantial answer. It's not a satisfying answer. If somebody's compelled to give, and therefore they are really acting shelo lishma, not for the sake of heaven, yet the fact that they gave anyway makes them part of Yisrael and makes them kadosh. So, in order to understand this, he goes into the concept of la'olam yasok adam, the Torah umitzvos, afal pi shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. So, since it's alright, even if a person is acting shelo lishma, which means not for proper reasons, they're doing it because they're compelled, they don't want to be embarrassed, for honor, somebody's looking at them and they just can't find a good excuse at the moment, or they're doing it because it's not for God himself, but because it's healthy, because it's a good way to live, because it's good for the neighborhood, because it's good for the community, or whatever reason any mitzvah is done. The person is acting shelo lishma, so we know it's okay, don't worry about it. Mitoch shelo lishma, you can rest assured. You can act in a lo lishma manner, because shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Because one day, at some point, we normally translate this as from your actions, which are not motivated by pure causes, but through behaving like that, you will come to behave in the same way, but with pure intentions. Shemitoch shelo lishma, although you're doing it for ulterior motives, for your own agenda, for whatever other reason, just do it. The behavior will be transformative. The behavior will work on you. And eventually you'll find yourself doing it for the right reasons. Shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Now, the problem is that how does it go from lo lishma to lishma? Is it just a change that takes place in the person? Or is there something else at work here? And this is all very significant, because we have to ask a very basic question regarding the Mishkan. We just said vayikhu li truma, take for me truma, and Rashi says there li lishmi, it has to be l'shem shemaim, it has to be lishma. Every single cent that's donated, every object that's donated to the Mishkan must be lishma. That is criteria for the Mishkan. Otherwise, the second part, which is v'shachanti b'socham, I will dwell amongst them, will not come to pass. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not dwell in a Mishkan unless the entire Mishkan and every aspect of it, every minute part of it, every cent that's donated to it, is completely lishma, and it's a real house, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a place where Hashem can dwell, and only if it's li lishmi can we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell in it. So, if that's the case, that the Mishkan has to be completely lishma, and if we know here that there are those that have and don't want to give, and those that give that don't have and they want to give, and somehow even if a person doesn't want to give but they give, it's okay because shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Doesn't that apply? Don't we have to assume that this applied at the time of the Mishkan also? Is it possible that there are millions of people, 600,000 men between 20 and 60, as you well know, could be anywhere between 2 or 3 million people, counting women and children and younger and older? Is it possible that every single person who's donating to the Mishkan is donating lishma? Is there any way to make sure that that's the case? How else can we make sure that v'shachanti b'socham, Hashem will dwell among them, and yet at the same time we have this huge variable of having all kinds of people on all different levels, and reality dictates that it can't possibly be that everybody is donating lishma. So this whole concept of mitoch shelo lishma balishma, is that adequate for the donation of the Mishkan? V'yikhu li truma li lishmi, is that okay in this case? Well, in Gemara Kedushin, we have a concept that we normally associate with a person who has a good intention and doesn't have the opportunity to act it out. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Machshava Tova, when there is a good thought, a good concept, and a good intention, a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa Lamasa. A Kadosh Baruch Hu takes that Machshava and he attaches it to a Masa. So we have the concept of machshava kamasa. The person intends to do something right, but they don't get around to doing it. Somehow it's not, the opportunity doesn't arise, or they can't, They can't create the opportunity. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzaref machshava to masa. He takes the machshava. He kind of looks at it as an action, and the person gets schar as if they did the action. That's how we normally think about this concept. Mitzaref machshava to masa. But here comes the chiddush. Here, the concept he brings down here is that, and this comes from Rav Elimelech Milozhinsk. You've heard of him? The Noam Elimelech. Now, these concepts such as these is what makes people go crazy about these thinkers. The Noam Elimelech explains that the secret, okay, here is that when a person does a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is done lo lishma. In other words, a person does a good deed, something that a Jew is supposed to do, and it's done lo lishma. Then they've created something good in the world, and it's compared to, it's expressed as the body of the malach. Because we always talk about, you do a mitzvah, you're creating a malach. Now, malach, don't think wings and angels. Think a power in the world, a force. But the force is made out of different components. A person does a mitzvah, and they do it lo lishma, without intention to do it l'shem shamayim, for some other reason. They've done something good. Something good exists in the world, no question about it. But it's compared to the body of the malach. Now, a body, as you know, is always finite, temporary, limited. It has its flaws and its shortcomings, and it's most of all, it doesn't have a. It doesn't exist forever. It's a temporary type of thing. When a person does a mitzvah, lishma, they've created, so to speak, the neshama of the malach, which exists forever. Okay. When a person does an actual mitzvah, lishma. If a person wants to do a mitzvah and can't do it, they've created the neshama, a disembodied power, like the neshama of the malach. When a person does a mitzvah without really wanting to, they've created a guf. The secret to what we just learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is machshava, takes a machshava tova, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lamase. The secret to this concept, unlike how we normally understand it, is that the power of Klal Yisrael lies in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a mitzvah done lo lishma, which is a body, so to speak. It's a masa, it's a deed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a kavana to do a mitzvah that was not implemented, just a disembodied kavana, and he's mitzaref the two together, and creates out of this a malach, a sholem, a whole force of good in the world. Together, sholem, between an action and a kavana are bound together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref, a machshava tova, to a maaseh, and what do you get? You get a complete, a malach sholem, so to speak. Now, when it comes to the Mishkan, normally, in every case, we say, do something lo lishma, and mitoch shelo lishma, one day you'll be lishma. But that is not acceptable in the Mishkan. It has to be li lishmi. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu supposed to do with all of the donations coming in that are not lishma? All of the shekels coming in that are not lishma, they're just there because I have no choice. If I don't give the shekel, they'll punish me. But I have no intention to do this. I wish I didn't have to do this mitzvah. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with all the other gifts of stones and gold and fabric and all of that that are coming in lo lishma? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to do is to appoint Bezalel, whose special gift it is Lachshov machshavot, to think thoughts. In other words, Bezalel has this job. A donation that comes in where the kavana is lishma and the donation is valuable, so that's the perfect donation, and that goes for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, the Shulchan, then in the menorah. And then donations come in where the donation is of value, but the kavana is less pure, not as elevated, so Bezalel is responsible for taking that donation and using it for a lesser part of the Mishkan. The krushim, the adonim, the planks and the boards, or other lesser, you know, more peripheral objects in the Mishkan. But what if something comes in that's lo lishma? And what about all the people that wanted to give more and just didn't have any more to give? They had it in their mind, they had kavana, but they didn't have. Now it became Bezalel's job. Every donation to come in, he had to understand it. Him and his chachamim, who were doing the malacha. The malacha they were doing was evaluating the gift. And now they had to, Beruach HaKodesh, make sure that for every low lishma donation that came in, there was out there in Klal Yisrael a tzaddik, or a tzaddikah, who was wishing to give and had nothing to give. And they had to be mitzarev, the donation that was low lishma, and the kavana that was lishma, and put it together so that the object donated to the Mishkan would be acceptable in Hashem's eyes and would be kadosh, which we go back to what it says, Yisrael kadoshim him. Yisrael their kadosh, because yesh rotza ve'enlo, there's someone who wants but he doesn't have. V'yesha yeshlo, and then there's someone who has but he doesn't want, but Toso says he gives anyway. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref, machshav etova, lemasa, he puts them together, and voila, you have something acceptable for the Mishkan. Based on this, we begin to understand Bezalel's job. And here we go to the Pasuk. We're going to look at Pasuk, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed. But before we do, take a second look at that. What we're trying to say here, based on the words of the Noam Elimelech and extended by the Chadushei Arim, the concept is really a play on words. Instead of saying mitoch shelo lishma, through the constant process of doing something lo lishma, eventually we'll get to lishma, what we really mean to say is litoch shelo lishma, into the essence of a lo lishma, ba lishma, comes something done properly, correctly, which has the power to salvage the action itself. With this we read the pasuk. Yomer Moshe ben Israel. Now he's explaining to them. Ru'u, see. Kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mate Yehuda. V'yemale oso Ruach Elokim. He filled him with Ruach Elokim, a special Ruach HaKodesh. B'chachma, b'tvuna, u'bedas, u'bechol melacha. That's the melacha we're talking about. His chachma, his tvuna, and his das is to be utilized to do a special melacha, which is what? Tziruf. Machshava, tova, tamasa, shelo lishma, right? To combine them. Lachshov machshavos. It's his job to think whose thoughts, we normally think, pshat, to think thoughts. No. Lachshov machshavot. Whose thoughts are he thinking? Everyone who's donating, he has to know their thoughts. That's his job. Lachshov machshavot. Of each and every person, to think the thoughts in the head of every person. In other words, to know whether they're lishma or not lishma, to deeply understand the Yerushalayim of a person. That's his job. And then to do with that, b'zahav, b'kesef, u'b'nechoshes. And we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Zav, kesef, and nechoshes, Rav Hirsch points out, are the different levels of people, the purer people, the more, you know, the less pure people, and the even lower than that, that Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshet, people who are coming with, you know, who have been kind of, all of the dross and the metal has been removed, and it's a pure metal, a pure gold, or something combined with other impurities to greater and greater degrees. That's his job. That's what Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael. Now you begin to understand what it means by Yikhu li Truma, as the beginning of Truma. And who are we taking the truma from? Es kolish asher yedvenu libo tikhu es truma. So it doesn't say vayitnu li truma. Everybody had to give truma. The secret here was from all the truma that was given, we had to take not just their truma. We're not talking about the truma here that everybody gave. We're talking about the truma, the physical objects, the physical gifts that were not given. That's what we had to take. Vayikhu li truma. Take for me a truma. From who? Me'es kolish, from every person, asher yidvenu libo, whose heart wants to give and who doesn't have what to give. Take their truma from them, because you're going to need to combine it with the given truma of everybody else. That's where you should take my truma. Tikhu es trumasi. Take my truma, because it's li lishmi, and the only way we can guarantee that every object in the Mishkan, every iota of anything that was donated is li lishmi, is if you take also the kavanas of every person whose heart desires to give, that's what you have to take. Tikhu li trumasi. There you will take tikhus trumasi. You'll take my truma, and it'll be lishmi. Now, going back to Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Dalet, what the complaint of the Chachamim were. Okay, so here, page 520 again. Vayavo kol ha-chachamim ha-osim es meleches ha-kodesh. So who came? Not the people who were just in charge, the administrators of collecting and distributing, but the people actually doing the malacha. Which malacha? The malacha we've just been discussing, the tziruf, the combining. They were the ones that came and they said, and they came from their work and they said, Vayomru Moshe, marbim ha'am lahavi, midei ha'avoda limalacha asher tziva Hashem lasos osa. They said, we're having a problem. There's a lot of gifts coming in, but it's too much for the malacha we're doing. In other words, it's too much for the kavanas of the people that would have liked to give, but can't give. We have too many objects, and we were not going to be able to combine every object given lo lishma with a kavana, a good kavana, a pure hope or intention to give, but without an object attached to it. There's too much objects, which means to say that if there's too many mitzvahs being done shelo lishma, and there's not an equal amount of righteous people desiring to do mitzvahs but not able to, then all those mitzvahs shelo lishma can't be used. They fall into the dust heap, right? And they are. There's nothing to redeem them. There's nothing to elevate them. There's nothing to salvage them. They can't be used. Mitzvah shelo lishma can't be used without the tzaddikim who have the kavana, who wish to do mitzvahs, who can't. They are useless. We can't work with them. We can't put them in bedek habayis because they're lo lishma. We can't put them in the fund. We can't have any use out of them for the mishkan.
Okay, so reading it again. Ve'aviru kol b'machane le'mor ish. Everybody stopped bringing. They didn't want any more gifts. Now, so what they brought was enough for everything they needed to do physically in the Mishkan. They had enough physical gifts piled up. But in addition to that, there's also an implication, vahuter, but there was too much in relationship to the kavanas. So, Klal Yisrael here were asked to stop. Now, I just want to remind you, we said that Haman asked the osei malacha to count that to shkolim. The people doing malacha are the people cheshbening if there's enough lo lishma to be coupled with lishma. And when we find that there's too much lo lishma, the lo lishma has no use, and that's what Haman was intending to display through his argument.
This concept here is developed here in relationship to the Mishkan. However, the implications for this are huge and vast. First of all, number one, the importance, and by the way, this is all found in Vayakhel, the importance of the Kehillah, of the totality of the nation. Because there must be people who are living the life of the mind, who are righteous, who want to give, certainly to give in terms of tzedakah, and yet the choices they made in their life precludes them from giving because they've chosen not to be wealthy, because they've chosen to spend their life in the books and in the mind and in chinuch of children, chinuch of other people, outreach, chesed, all kinds of other pursuits that preclude them from being able to give. But because they're so devoted to Klal Yisrael, to the extent that they themselves gave up the opportunity to be wealthy or to make a lot of money, their devotion to Klal Yisrael makes it clear that if they had money to give, of course they'd give all their money. They're already giving all their time and all their energy and all their luxuries for the sake of Klal Yisrael. They're going into Avodas HaKodesh, Klei Kodesh in some way. And clearly if they had, they would give more. And if they had more time, they'd give more time. So a community cannot function without a strong core group. Even you might say a small majority of these people. Because everybody else who is doing mitzvahs And many people, a tremendous amount of people who are going through the living life of a Torah life, but not as lishma, giving but not as lishma, have their acts of, their mitzvahs, their acts of charity, have no usable value without the other chelak of Klal Yisrael, who, in a sense, legitimize them and salvage them from being wasted, from being useless. So we often hear the idea that that it's not so much the privilege, really, we say it in terms of tzedakah, of the wealthy person to give, but in a certain way it's a privilege that they have, that there's somebody who needs to be given to, and they can give, and hopefully when they give, and hopefully it's lishma, which is the highest, but if it's not lishma, as long as Klal Yisrael is also made up of the other core, perhaps we have some hope for ourselves. So first of all, the implication is the value of the group, of the community, of all elements in the community. That's critical. Second of all, it becomes clear that the kavana of a person matters. It matters a huge amount how a person is giving to Torah, how a person is learning lishma, doing mitzvos lishma, because if not, they're in great danger. And a person can never say, well, as you know what, I'll do my mitzvahs, you know, even if they're not lishma, because somebody out there who's holier than me is going to be utilizing my mitzvahs to complete the force of tov in the world, so I'm covered. There's only one problem. 80% of Klal Yisrael are assimilating, are intermarrying. So if there's anybody who has to have the kavana to do it right, even if they don't actually implement it, it's us, to make up for the rest of Klal Yisrael who are not acting lishma. Only the people who know Torah and know the mitzvahs are in a position to be of help to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So even if we can't go out there and make somebody religious or stop someone from marrying a Jew, okay, now it's not always easy, or stop the rampant assimilation. One thing that a person who learns Torah and does mitzvahs can do is make sure that when they do their Torah and the mitzvahs, it's with kavana, and mitzvahs they can't do, they wish they can do, really truly wish they can do. So at least perhaps that we're in the world of kavana, which is a real world, they will be of some use to the people that are going through the motions without the kavana, without the lishma. Now, when we gave the chatzi shekel, first for the original donation, which went for the hooks and the straps and the sockets, which again is the idea of holding everybody together as one. And then we gave the yearly donation of the shkolim for the carbon tamid, which was everybody's gift together. Nobody had a more larger or smaller share in it. That spoke of the achdus of the nation. No question about it. That spoke of each person relying on the other person, and it, from Hashem's perspective, a totality, a harmonious whole. However, Haman's argument, in a philosophical sense, is Yesh Am Echad, they are Mifuzar and the Mifurad, not from each other that are spread out through your Malchus, so somewhere in the east and somewhere in the west. They are Mifurad, they are separated from each other. They are separated from each other, which means there are those that are going through the motions, and there are those that are trying to be better, perhaps, but there's no tziruf between them of one person's action and one person's thought. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not being mitzarif machshava to masa here, and perhaps because there's not enough, there's too much lo lishma, their heart is not in it. And we know the tshuva of Purim was kimu v'kiblu. They re-accepted the Torah. In other words, they just put their hearts back into it. Their hearts were not in it. So there's a lot of mitzvahs could have been. They could have been living as Jews, but as we said, they were of no use. So what Haman says is, I know about their chatzi shekel, which was a symbol of their oneness. A symbol. What, two half the shekels make a whole. There's a tziruf. You always have to combine one half and the other half and you get a whole. He says, I know about the tziruf, but you know what? They no longer have this merit. So I will buy off, so to speak, their merit, their value in your eyes, God. And you'll have my shkolim instead. So he's offering to neutralize this zechus that we have. Now Klal Yisrael, when faced with this threat with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning, accepted the offer. He said, go, they're yours, do with them what you like. So Klal Yisrael, facing the danger and guided by Mordechai, understood that there was the only way to save themselves here was to accept the Torah once more, but accept it deeply, to act lishma, and to see themselves as critically needing each other, the greater and the lesser. And that is why, as we said before, a main theme of Purim is Shalach Manos Ish L'Re'eh, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lev Yonim. It's all about bringing it back together and accepting upon themselves, strengthening themselves in the obligation to do everything L'Shem Shamayim, to do it L'Shma, and not for any other purpose. So one of the themes here is the concept of a mitzvah to kiyum haTorah l'shma. By the way, don't be fooled. Any action, my grandfather Schwab used to talk about this, done l'shem shamayim has a power and a life in and of itself. He always wondered why and he spoke about this at one of the Aguda conventions, how Russia, the empire, the Russian Empire, was so successful in eradicating Judaism for so many years, but then how it was toppled, how it fell and came crumbling down upon itself without even a shot fired. Where was the koach that brought down Russia? And he said it wasn't only Gorbachev and Glasnost and all of that. The way he saw it is, he said, the only thing that can topple evil, which is done lishma, for the sake of evil, they eradicated religion, they felt it was a poison. Their objective was to create a secular, completely secular society. The Jews were forbidden from indulging in anything that had to do with religion. They were single-minded about it. Their evil was lishma, for evil. It's interesting their name was Russia. He said the only thing that can topple pure evil, lishma, to evil to its core, for the sake of evil, is holiness, kedusha, truth, lishma. And you know where it is found? He said it's found in the few individual refuseniks who gave up everything to learn Torah, to bring Torah into Russia. They were l'shem shamayim. There was nothing to gain, only everything to lose. And that was the koach that brought down the evil lishma. So you can only fight lishma with lishma. So Haman's hatred on Malik was so deeply seated. It was lishma, to eradicate the Jewish people. That's all it was. The only thing that can fight lishma is our lishma, to do things only because they're mitzvah, and therefore they should be done, period. And if we act lishma, then we don't have to worry that, God forbid, we will have no merits in the eyes of Hashem, because as we said, as we saw by the Mishkan and by Haman, they could be doing all the mitzvahs, but if they're not lishma and there's no kavanas tovos to be mitzarif them, to connect them to, they're of no use. Now, just before we close, I want to, for one moment, develop the concept of doing something lishma. Okay? Doing something l'shem shamayim. We normally think that it's a aspect of the mitzvah. You could do the mitzvah lo lishma, or you could do the mitzvah lishma, and there's truth to that. But the fact really is that doing a mitzvah or avoiding an avera because it's a mitzvah, avoiding an avera because of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because l'shem shamayim, or doing a mitzvah l'shem shamayim, that is a mitzvah in and of itself. So, without going into the whole big picture, Rav Hunter discusses this in his Sefer on Sukkos, and he associates it with Avram and the Akedah. But the gist of it is the following, that the Gemara says, Yashav, a person sits down. In other words, he's passive. The lo avar avera, and he doesn't do an avera. Person is passive, and he doesn't sin. Okay, I'm going about my day, and today I didn't kill, and I didn't eat treif. Okay? Nostim lo schar ke'osa mitzvah. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara in Kedushin, you give him a schar as if he did a mitzvah. Now that's too easy. I didn't do an avera today, so I get a schar. So the question is, which mitzvah did I fulfill? And isn't that too easy for me? So the Gemara explains, no. The Gemara explains, it's not just in any case. It's in the case of Shaba Avera Liyado, that an avera presents itself, is available, and is desired. A person wants to now violate an isor, a prohibition. And the opportunity is in front of them to violate something now. The nitzal himena, and they stop themselves. So an avera presents itself. There's a great yetzahara to do it. It's available. We can do it. We can get away with it. And we stop ourselves, and that's called shave va'al tasa. We sit and we don't act. A person gets a schar as if they did a mitzvah. So now the question is, okay, which mitzvah? Keeping Shabbos? I mean, which mitzvah schar do you get? Well, a very particular mitzvah. Devarim perek yod, pasuk chaf, that mitzvah. The mitzvah is es Hashem Elokecha tira, the mitzvah of fearing God. There's a specific mitzvah. In Devarim, you can quickly flip to a perek yod, pasuk chaf. Perek Yod, Pasuk Chaf on page 992. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You should fear God. That is the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Ase Doraisa from the Torah. How do you fulfill the mitzvah Ase Doraisa? You fulfill a mitzvah Ase by overcoming your desire to do an Avera. You might think, so I just did nothing. I had a Yetzahara. And I squelched it, so I didn't do the Avera. Actually, the person has now acquired for himself a schar of a mitzvah ase doraisa of desiring to sin and not sinning. So we explain here, Beno Yonah explains that the desire wells up in a person and kind of crashes over them like waves, and they restrain themselves. They've actually fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of Yirah Shamayim, of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. In addition, if a person is asked to do a mitzvah and doesn't want to do it, but they overcome their resistance, such as Avram by the Akedah, the desire not to do the mitzvah is the Avera in front of them. And when they ignore their resistance to the mitzvah and they do it, they also have fulfilled Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, because they conquered their Yetzirah and didn't do the Avera, in this case, of not doing the mitzvah. So, we normally think that just the action is the end result. That's what we get schar. That's what we do. That's what we do. Either you do the mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim, or you didn't do L'Shem Shemayim. But the inner struggle that takes place prior to the mitzvah, or before we don't do the Avera, that inner struggle is ours, and it has nothing to do, you know, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's just the process that leads to the end. What we're learning here is that process is a mitzvah in and of itself. The struggle that takes place in a person's mind is a mitzvah in and of itself. So, when it comes to the concept of doing something lishma, lishma simply means there's a mitzvah in front of me, and you know why I'm doing it? Even though I might not want to do it, I'm doing it simply L'Shem Shemayim, because it's a mitzvah. And not for another reason. If a person does it for any other reason, I'm doing the mitzvah because it feels good, or makes me look good, or I just do it for my health, so that is not in any way fulfilling the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, to do something because you have Yiras Hashem. No, you're doing it for another reason. So that mitzvah is done lo lishma. There's no kavana there to do it because it's a mitzvah. Yes, the deed is done, but it's what we were speaking about today. It's a mitzvah shelo lishma, and unless there's somebody there in our community, in our nation, that has a kavana that could be attached to it, it's useless. And when a person is faced with an avera, and they say, I'm not going to do this avera, not because I'm embarrassed in front of my friends, but simply to fulfill the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, then that person is restraining from the Avera Lishma. Simply, not because of any mystical reasons. You don't have to think about all the mystical Zohar reasons for what happens when you do this mitzvah. Simply, Lishma means, I'm not doing it because there's a mitzvah to overcome my Yetzirah to do this Avera, and I am going to overcome it. So I've just completed the mitzvah of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. It took place invisibly in my heart, in my gut, in my mind. And that's called lishma. Just to do a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah, and avoid an avera because it's an avera, that itself is a mitzvah. So as a wrap-up, it's important to notice that all through the Megillah, the notion of Klal Yisrael joining together, working together and using each other is pervasive. For example, although Haman says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad, which is their crime. And as we're interpreting it today, there's a pirud between the kavanas and the actions, and there's way too much lo lishma, and it can't be salvaged, and therefore it's of no use, all of their mitzvahs. Esther counteracts that, this in Perek Dalet, she says, lech kenos es kol hayehudim. Go gather them all together. They have to do this as one, and I also am part of it. I will fast too. And later on, when the whole story comes out in our favor, it's only because the Jewish people rose up to this challenge and gathered together and understood their need for one another. For example, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that the Jewish people, b'chol ir va'ir, okay, had been given permission by the king, asher nasan ha'melech la'yehudim asher b'chol ir v'ir lehikahel v'la'amod al nafsham. It's all about the kehillah. Perek tes, pasuk beis, nikalu ha'yehudim ba'arehim. It's in perek tes, pasuk tes vav, v'yikalu ha'yehudim. It's in pasuk yud zayin, nikalu b'shlosha asar bo ba'arba asar bo. It's in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Kimu v'Kiblu, which we spoke about before, a reaffirmation of the mitzvos, and it to now to be done lishma. And so this time of the year, this is the time of the year to reassess our motivations. Pesach and Purim are all about accepting the Torah lishma. And it's interesting because it gives us an opportunity to realize that actually we really need the people that sometimes we think need us. They're the backbone on which we stand. So we give them great honor and respect and revere the position they hold among us. And hopefully we will be worthy to be among those who do the mitzvah and do them lishma. Have a good Chodesh and a good Shabbos, everyone.